Now, it's interesting what's happening in Montreal. They got a solid defender in Josh Georges, but Montreal, they want to trade him. He vetoed a trade to Toronto. But then he had to expand his no-trade list because the Canadians risked putting him on waivers. And he has a no-trade clause, but not a no-movement clause, which means you're eligible for waivers. And a team then could pick him up for free. And obviously doesn't want to do that. So where are they? We'll find out. From TSN 690 Montreal, Connor McKenna joins us. Connor, any idea? Now, I heard that he had expanded his no-trade list to include some Canadian cities. Do you know which ones?
I do not. My understanding, though, is that Toronto is not one of them. I mean, I guess clearly, because if it were, then the deal probably would have happened by now. So, yeah, it's not clear who, but it's nice to hear because of how many guys have been saying they don't want to play in Canada, whether it's Ryan Kesler, Jason Spezza, Alex Hemsky, yada, yada, yada. That's been like the theme of this offseason. So at least someone wants to play in some Canadian cities.
Well, I think it's kind of a joke that so many Canadians don't want to play in Canadian markets where really, you know, they fund half the league, for goodness sakes. So you'd think they might want to rethink that a little bit. I think maybe it's once you've played there a long time, they get a little tired of it a little bit. But, you know, you should never take it for granted because once they get out of it and they go to a non-hockey market, they don't like it. So when you look at any idea what the return would be like Toronto, I'm guessing, because you know Montreal just wants to get rid of the cap space. They're not going to have to take much back.
Yeah, I mean you'd think so, but at the same time, talking to Bob McKenzie this morning on the morning show on TSN 690, he's saying it's a Toronto roster player that they're talking about moving out there. So I'm not sure who it is. Bob's saying he thought it was a defenseman. He also said he did not think it was going to be Morgan Riley or Jake Gardner, the two youngsters. And he also didn't think it was going to be Dion Phaneuf. So who does that leave? Well, not Tim Gleason, who's on buyout waivers. So who then? Cody Franzen is a possibility. Who am I forgetting here? I don't know. But anyway, the point is, someone who probably isn't all that great, who is on the Toronto Maple Leafs roster right now. If not, then maybe it's one of the other guys who's been rumored to be on the move. As crazy as it sounds, if they're really high on Georges, is it that crazy to think that a couple of guys who appear to have worn their welcome out in Toronto, like Nazem Kadri, might be a possibility? It seems completely insane. It seems like something you'd see on an internet message board. But look, I mean, this is a Leafs group that is known for making some pretty bad decisions. And I think, for example, getting Tim Gleason and then paying him out shortly thereafter, buying out Mikhail Grabowski, looking like a pretty questionable decision at this point as well. I mean, there's been a lot of bad calls made by that group in Toronto, so I wouldn't necessarily rule out another one stemming in this Georges trade. I mean, otherwise, why would Mark Bergevin and the Habs be so trigger happy to pull the trigger on this move?
Well, I don't understand why they want to trade him in the first place. He's 29 years of age. His cap hits $3.9 million. You know, he plays top 4 minutes. So what is it that they don't like about his game?
I think it's just a cap issue. I don't know if it's an either-or situation. Maybe they feel he's the guy they're going to get the best return on. It seems like they want to free up that $3.9 million. And if Josh Georges, I think, look, he works his tail off. He's a terrific player, but he's not a guy who you want on your top pairing. And if you're on a really good team, I don't think he's on your second pairing either. So what does that mean? That you're paying $3.9 million for a guy who's not necessarily a top four defenseman. And I think that's why the Canadians are looking at a little bit of a numbers game here. Alexi Eflin's at 4.1 on the cap. Andre Markov's got a new deal at 5.75. The PK Subban's going to be hitting a home run on his new deal. So all of a sudden, you've got a big cap number issue. And that's something that I think maybe squeezes Josh Georges out of the equation. They've also got some good young defensemen coming up. We saw a little bit of Nathan Beaulieu in the playoffs. They took him in the first round a couple of years ago. The year before that, they took Jared Tenorti. They've got designs on him maybe making the team this year as well. And there's a guy named Greg Patterin, who they picked up in that Mikhail Grabowski deal the last time they made a deal with Toronto, who's also played well enough to get his way onto the roster. So between the salary cap issues and the roster issues, it seems like Josh Georges is the odd man out.
Connor McKenna joins us from TSN 690 in Montreal. The Habs also making a trade that on paper looks like kind of a steal. P.A. Parenteau, $4 million cap hit, comes into Montreal, and Daniel Briere, smaller, older, exact same cap hit, goes out. What do you make of this deal?
It's hard to understand what Colorado's thinking here. It became clear a year ago that he wasn't a Patrick Waugh kind of guy, and you can sort of take that for whatever it means. Maybe not tough enough, maybe not as willing to throw himself in front of shots and whatnot as the coach might have liked. But it seemed like he wore out his welcome in Colorado. I guess with Briere, they think that change of scenery and maybe a new coach can coax a little bit more out of Briere. It became pretty obvious here in Montreal, and I think it was obvious before. It was the reason Philadelphia bought his contract out. He doesn't have a whole lot left. It's not just the skating. That's not what it once was. It's also his shot. He had such a lethal shot for a long time that he just doesn't seem to have anymore. And at some point, as a smaller guy too, in his late 30s, I mean, look, father time is going to catch up. It seems obvious to most of us that that's the case with Daniel Briere. P.A. Peronto is, you know, not to be mistaken for the guy who piled up 67 points one year on a line with John Tavares. Doesn't have Tavares and won't have Tavares with him here in Montreal, but he's proven himself a capable NHLer. I think it was 33 points in 55 games a year ago. He was closer to a point a game during the lockout shortened season. I think it was 43 points in 47 games or something like that. So he can put numbers up on the board. So it does, on paper, look like a steal. Plus, the Habs also got a fifth-round pick out of it. So with a guy like Trevor Timmins, the Habs amateur scouting director, a fifth-round pick is not nothing. I mean, it yielded Brendan Gallagher, for example, a couple of years ago. So he knows what he's doing in those late rounds. I can't really explain it. I don't know if another shoe is waiting to drop in Colorado, maybe a buyout or something like that for Briere, and then they could use some of the cap space to sign Paul Stastny. I couldn't say for sure. I'm no expert on the Colorado Avalanche, but it does seem like a strange deal from the Colorado point of view.
Where do you see Peronto playing?
With Brian Vionta, the captain, maybe not being back, I think there's a chance that Tomas Lekanets will be looking for a guy to be his sort of new right-hand man. So there's a possibility there. If Alex Galchenyuk moves to center, that's a possibility as well. Maybe they try to find a fit there. Peronto is, I think we could agree, is more of a setup guy. He's more of a playmaker than he is a finisher. So the Lekanets idea might not be the best one. With Galchenyuk, a guy who's got a lethal shot, maybe there's something to be done there. Or maybe Lars Eller could find some chemistry with him as well. There's a lot of possibilities. We know that Michel Therrien is sort of willing to throw everything into the blender and try it out. So if anything, it should make the preseason in the early stages of the year a little more interesting for the Habs.
And one last one, P.K. Subban, $8 million a year. Is that likely where he's going to come in at?
It's tough. This is kind of a strange situation, and everybody's assuming that they're going to go max term on this deal. I don't think that's as likely as a lot of other people do, and the reason for that is, if you look at a guy like him in 4 or 5 years, no matter what you give him at this point, unless you're getting into the double digits, I think that he's going to be looked at as basically a bargain against the salary cap. This is an elite defenseman for the Canadiens. So $8 million now for 5 years, that might be a number that they could work with. They might even be able to get a little bit lower, but that will put him right into his free agent years when the deal expires, and then he could really sort of reach for the stars and hit a huge home run on his next deal. So that's something that I wouldn't necessarily rule out. As far as the cap number goes, I don't think it's going to be lower than 7.5, and I doubt it'll be higher than 8.5, but exactly where it falls is, well, a bit of a mystery to me.
Yeah, well, right in between there would seem right for Subban. And I think he takes an 8-year deal. It's guaranteed money. You never know what can happen. I know he's very young, but it's you sign a 3 or 4 year deal. Who knows? An injury. I think a lot of those guys are like, man, I'm at the top of my game. I'm a Norris Trophy winner. I think now's the time to cash in.
It's certainly a distinct possibility. We'll just have to see what Donnie Meehan and P.K. Subban decides is the right thing for him. One thing's for sure. I don't expect anything other than P.K. Subban to remain a Montreal Canadian for a long, long time to come.
And Gionta, no chance he comes back?
I don't think there's no chance. I don't know if maybe due to the fact that we've got these new rules as far as unrestricted free agents go, maybe he's had a couple of people talking to him, maybe Lou Lamoriello, maybe the guys in Buffalo as well, although they appear to be committed to nothing other than losing in Buffalo right now. But in Jersey, I could see a fit there. He's got his brother playing there, though he is also a free agent, but it's very possible they could want to play together late in their careers. As far as Gianna goes, I mean, look, the Habs just can't pay this guy that much money. I realize he's the captain. He's a good player. He's not what he once was, but he's the third-line guy. You can't, in the salary cap world, especially if you're as capped out as the Canadians probably will be by the time everything, all the smoke clears this offseason, you can't pay a third line guy $3-4 million. Just can't afford to do that in this day and age. So that's going to be a tough one. Now, we'll see if they find a way to make it work. It seems like Giana wants to stay, but maybe not badly enough that that he takes a massive pay cut.
Connor, I appreciate your time. Enjoy the frenzy starting tomorrow.
Cheers, Jason. Thanks for the invite.